You're listening to The Leonard Lopate Show on AM 820 and 93.9 WNYC.
It's been a year and a half since the FDA approved Truvada, a once-a-day medication that prevents HIV infection. Despite the fact that the treatment, which is known as pre-exposure prophylaxis, or PrEP, was hailed as a major breakthrough, and that the medication is covered by most health insurance plans, there seems to be a consensus in the medical community that not enough at-risk people are taking it. We're joined now by Dr. Robert Grant, a professor at the University of California, San Francisco, and the lead scientist on the global study which showed the benefits of giving existing HIV medications to non-infected patients. And I'm very pleased to welcome him to our show today. Hello.
Hi. Hi, Leonard. It's good to be here.
How does this medication prevent HIV infection?
Well, when people take it daily, it gets into their cells in such a way that the virus, when it comes knocking on the door of the cells, cannot replicate. It cannot make copies of itself, and it cannot spread in the body.
And Truvada is a unique example of this, or are there other drugs as well? Could AZT have been used as a previous preventative?
Well, Truvada is the one that's been rigorously studied and shown to be highly effective in gay men and heterosexual men and women and in injection drug users. So Truvada is the one that we've studied the most carefully. Other medications may have the same benefit, but we really haven't proven that.
Didn't doctors prescribe Truvada off-label long before the FDA gave its approval?
Well, we had heard rumors that that was happening, but when we actually did surveys, very few physicians and very few people said they were actually using PrEP before it was proven. And they were pretty reasonable about it. They told us, you know, that if we could show that it was safe and effective, they would be very interested in using PrEP. But without really proving, without knowing for sure that it was working, they didn't want to try it.
Would a tactic like this work with antiviral medications and for other diseases, or is it just for HIV?
Well, it actually does work. This is really how we prevent the spread of meningitis. When there's an outbreak of meningitis among children or students, we go to, you know, everyone who's had contact with a case of meningitis, and we give them medications. In that case, it's antibacterial, but it's the same idea of using a drug that prevents the spread of the infection in people who were exposed but not yet having the disease. We do the same thing, actually, with tuberculosis. When, you know, someone has tuberculosis, we go out to all of their contacts, and we offer them medication that prevents the microbial organism, the germ, from spreading in the new people that have had contact. So this is a concept. This concept of prophylaxis is really a proven one in medicine, and we just now are showing that it works for HIV as well.
And who had that idea first?
For use of antimicrobials?
For the Truvada. For HIV.
Well, it really came out of work that was done with post-exposure prophylaxis in healthcare workers who were caring for HIV-infected people, and sometimes they would have a needle stick injury, you know, just by accident. And so the idea there was to use post-exposure prophylaxis to see if it could prevent acquisition of HIV. This idea of pre-exposure prophylaxis is really just an extension of that. I think that Julie Gerberding, the former head of the CDC, was one of the pioneers in that field of post-exposure prophylaxis.
So it specifically blocks HIV from entering cells. Does the virus just die in the body?
Yes. The virus really just disintegrates after a certain period of time if it cannot find a way to reproduce itself. And so if it cannot get into cells and make more copies of itself, it just sort of dies on the vine.
Does it completely eliminate the risk of contracting HIV, or simply lower the chance of infection?
Well, it really works if it's taken regularly. We know, though, that if people do not take the pill every day, if they take it only occasionally, then there is still some chance that they can get that they can acquire HIV infection. But it's highly effective when used daily.
How does the dosage compare with antiviral medications given to HIV positive patients?
Well, it's the same dose, but it's only Truvada rather than when we treat HIV infection, we use Truvada with a third or sometimes a fourth drug. And so for prevention, we just use Truvada, which is really one pill that contains two different medications.
So it's only a portion of the cocktail that we've heard so much about.
That's correct.
The long-term side effects of those medications on HIV-positive people is still unknown. Isn't that something HIV-negative patients should be concerned about before taking something like Truvada?
Yes, I think people should think through all issues of safety really carefully. What really surprised us and pleasantly surprised us from our research was discovering how safe these medications really were in HIV-uninfected people. You know, I think that we've had so much experience with treating HIV infection, and you know, we're very happy that these drugs used to treat HIV infection prolong life and restore health, and people go back to work and back to their social lives. But there are side effects, and we've always wondered when we're treating HIV infection, to what extent are the side effects due to the residual infection versus the drugs? But I think in any case, we assumed it was probably the drugs. But when we started using these drugs for uninfected people, we were amazed at how safe and well tolerated they are. You know, we looked in about 300 different ways for potential safety problems, and we found none except for very few. And those few, I think, are worth considering. We do know that people, when they start these medications, about 1 in 10 of them, maybe 10%, will have some nausea, some abdominal cramping, and that will last a week or two. If they can stick with it, generally that side effect will diminish or go away. There's also a need to monitor the kidney function. The kidneys are the organ in the body which makes urine and gets rid of certain type of waste. And so it's very important that people's kidneys work well. And with these particular drugs, about 1 in 200 people using these drugs will have an abnormality in their kidney function. But the good news is that it can be detected readily by a blood test done every 3 months. And if there's any sign of problem with the kidneys, then people can stop taking PrEP, and the kidney, at least in our experience, goes back to normal within a month or two. And people can even restart the drug after they've had this issue, and it doesn't come back. There's also a small change in bone mineral density that can occur with people. It's only 1% on average, and it does not progress over time. And it does tend to get better after people stop the drug.
I'm talking with Dr. Robert Grant. He's a professor at the University of California, San Francisco, and also the lead scientist on a global study which showed the benefits of giving existing HIV medications to non-infected patients. We have gotten a message from one of our listeners, Brett, on the Upper East Side. He says, I'm a gay man and my boyfriend is HIV positive. We use protection, are very careful. He's undetectable, and we always use protection. I've considered this pill, but I wonder what the long-term health risks of it are. So you've just answered that, but that would suggest that there are people out there who are not taking the pill because of that. Now, if he took Truvada, being in a relationship with someone who's HIV positive, would that be total protection for him?
Well, yes. You know, I think that this kind of situation was studied very specifically in Africa, where they studied couples. In that case, it was heterosexual couples, but we think it works the same way for gay men, where one person was HIV positive and the other one was HIV negative. And they really showed that it was highly effective for people And if they actually took the medication daily, it offered high-level protection. We don't really say that it's 100% effective because, you know, there may be some chance of infection still. We just don't know. But it is highly, highly effective.
This past...
Now, in people whose partner is on therapy and their drug levels, the level of virus in their body is very low, that also decreases the risk of HIV transmission. So that's a good thing. This couple that you're hearing from is in pretty good shape, I think, because his partner is on successful therapy and they're taking care of themselves in other ways.
This past fall, Gilead released data from about half of retail pharmacies nationwide, which found that from January 2011 through March 2013, 1,774 people filled PrEP prescriptions. That number seems really low.
Yeah.
And almost half of those prescriptions were for women. Does that surprise you?
Well, I think that there are other examples of women leading the way. Sometimes when we talk at conferences, this is a funny anecdote. When we talk at conferences, somebody will stand up and say that they don't think anyone's ever going to take a pill a day to prevent the disease or prevent anything. And that person's always a man because the women in the room have experience with taking birth control pills, and they're taking them every day, and they know that they can do it and that it works, and that even though there are side effects, it's still worth doing. So I think that women really are ahead of the curve here because they do have such good experience with birth control pills. And this is a prevention pill as well. It prevents HIV, not pregnancy, but the concept of using a pill a day for prevention is well established among women. And I think that the men of the world need to come along.
The New York City Department of Health directed us to a study which was conducted before the approval of Truvada by the FDA, which found that 35% of young men who have sex with men in New York City were aware that PrEP existed. Does that suggest that knowledge about PrEP is still fairly low? It's only about one-third.
Yeah, that's been impressive, and one-third is high. If you look at study cities around the world or even in the United States, it's often around 10%. And even if you look at highly impacted populations like gay men, the awareness of PrEP is running only about 30%. So I think it is a new concept. People are just learning about it. People have an idea that these medications are only for treatment of HIV and that they are harmful. And I think that the new information that we have, that these same medications do work for prevention and that they're amazingly safe compared to what we thought before, that message is just getting out at this time.
HIV is a particularly wily virus. If so many people are walking around with trace levels of Truvada, is it possible that HIV could mutate and develop higher resistance to antiviral medications?
Well, we have not. Yes, that's possible, but we have not seen that as a problem. Among people who take PrEP, we have not seen them become infected yet in any of our studies, if they're actually taking PrEP every day. And if they don't take it very successfully, then there's really not enough drug there to cause drug resistance. So we really are not seeing drug resistance except in one situation. If someone comes in and starts PrEP, but they already have HIV infection, then starting Truvada alone will cause drug resistance to emtricitabine in as many as half of people who do that. So it's important that people get an HIV test before they start PrEP, and ideally it would be the very same day. And if very sensitive testing based on viral RNA is available, then we recommend that as well.
My guest is Dr. Robert Grant, a professor at the University of California, San Francisco. We will continue our conversation after we take a little break. Stay with us. We are back with Dr. Robert Grant, a professor at the University of California, San Francisco. We're talking about the development of drugs called PrEPs, pre-exposure prophylaxis, that actually seem to work in preventing HIV infection. but are not being used very often. A large part of the public health message to the gay community over the last few decades has been use a condom every time. Don't some critics claim the availability of this drug will undermine that message?
Well, yes. I think that there has been concern that people who have been using condoms very well might switch to PrEP. In fact, that could protect them against HIV, but importantly, PrEP does not have protective benefit against syphilis or gonorrhea or other STDs. I think that we need to get real about condom use. It's been the message. It's been the one thing that we've had to offer. And people have tried to use them, but condom use that has never been very consistent and never been universal. And for everyone who says they're using condoms every day, there's some that try to use them and it just doesn't happen. So I think that the goal here is to provide options to people, and PrEP is highly effective and safe and does not require that people alter their sexual practices during the practice. So, they can just any time during the day take a pill. And so this is really a good option for people who are not using condoms consistently. And there's lots of reasons why people may not use condoms consistently. We find, for example, that around the world, people told us that they were consistent condom users until one day they fell in love. And they wanted a higher level of intimacy. They wanted to be closer to the person. And so condoms weren't being used as consistently. And that's just one example of people who are having difficulty using condoms. So PrEP is an alternative. It can be used as a second line of defense, or it can be used by people who are having difficulty using condoms. In fact, we showed that the greatest benefit occurred in people who were not using condoms consistently.
We are joined now by Dr. Brian Bakofen of Fenway Health in Boston. Dr. Bakofen, how many prescriptions have you filed for PrEP since it was approved?
I think at this point I've probably got about 15 to 20 patients on it, but the exact number of prescriptions I'm not sure. But probably about half of them have been on a year or so.
And when you talk... Go ahead.
I was going to say, and I'm starting new people on them occasionally and also taking people off of it occasionally. So.
And why are you taking them off of it?
Some people actually get to a point where they don't feel they need it. For example, a patient that was in a relationship with an HIV-positive partner is no longer in that relationship, so the risk doesn't seem as important. But also some people say, I've decided I don't really want to take this medication every day, or their insurances aren't covering it, or any number of other reasons.
When you talk to patients about PrEP, how do they generally react? How do you sell it, first of all?
Well, I would say that at least half of the people I discuss PrEP with have actually come in and asked about PrEP. It's only probably about 50% of the patients are people that I initiate the conversation on. And here in Boston, Fenway Health, where I work, we have a pretty big community visibility. So a lot of patients have actually heard about PrEP, even if they don't walk in asking about it. So it's not a brand new concept here for a lot of people. But most of the time, if I do bring it up, people either say, I have no interest in taking a pill every day, or some of them say, oh, that sounds really interesting. Tell me more about it. What do I do to get it?
Is it your sense that there's a stigma to using Truvada in some parts of the gay community?
I think to an extent there is, although, again, I think the gay community tends to hear about news about HIV pretty quickly. And so with the announcement that PrEP was available and that Truvada was the medication that was going to be used, I think that the idea of having an HIV medication in your medicine cabinet is not quite as bad as it used to be, especially if it's Truvada. People used to be afraid to have anything in their cabinets. But since Truvada is now available as a preventive, I think that it's not seen as concerning.
Doctor, thank you so much for talking with us.
You're welcome.
And now we have a patient who uses Truvada on the line. Hi.
Hello.
Robert?
Yes, that's me. How you doing?
I'm well. What motivated you to go on Truvada?
Well, it's actually, I'd never even heard of PrEP as a regimen. Strangely, I got an HIV test that came up a false positive. And so when I went to the clinic to kind of face the music and, get on a regimen and deal with it, I found out that I was actually HIV negative. And that's when my doctor said, "Have you ever heard of PrEP?" And I hadn't, but I work in healthcare. And so I was kind of open to the idea. And I went and did the research and read the report about it and decided it was really something I was willing to try to be kind of on the front line of this.
Do you share the fact that you're on the medication with your friends or a partner?
Absolutely. Yeah, I don't have a partner. I'm single. But yeah, all my friends know that I'm on PrEP, and I've talked with it about. I've been really open about that fact.
And how do they respond?
My friends are actually. I have kind of a lucky situation. My friends are all really highly educated, activists, you know, people like that, and they've all been really supportive. My friends, that is. You know, the gay community in general has not always been super supportive of this regimen, but my friends have been really supportive.
What about insurance? Dr. Bakofen said that not everybody gets this covered by insurance.
Sure. Luckily, my insurance hasn't ever balked at covering it. I don't know if that's because they just haven't noticed that I'm not taking a full HIV regimen. I don't know if I'm just kind of slipping underneath the radar. I've never had a problem with it. And it's been about a year and a half.
Thank you so much for talking with us, Robert.
Thank you.
I go now back to Dr. Robert Grant of the University of California, San Francisco. Dr. Grant, you've I don't know if you want to add anything to what we've just heard.
Well, yes. I think that insurance companies are paying for PrEP because they see it as a way to avoid having to treat HIV, which is requires lifelong therapy. And there's some, even when HIV is treated, there's still some ongoing risk of heart attack or cancer or other problems that are very expensive for insurance companies to treat. And so,
but this is expensive too, isn't it? $1,000 a month?
Well, it depends on, it really depends on the price that is negotiated by the insurance company. Very few payers actually pay full price. But the idea of PrEP is that people do go on and off of it depending on when they need it. People will go through a phase of their life where they're dating and they may not be able to negotiate safety with every single person they're dating. And so they use PrEP for that period. But then they get into a relationship either with someone who's seropositive but on suppressive therapy or someone who's seronegative and doesn't have other outside partners. And then they can go off of PrEP. So we're finding that people do not need PrEP. Many people do not need PrEP every day, year after year, but they go on and off of it depending on their life circumstances. Not so with HIV infection. Once someone has HIV infection, they need treatment every day for the rest of their lives. And so that becomes a very expensive proposition for insurance companies. They would rather pay to prevent infection than allow it to happen and then have to treat it.
What about Medicaid and other government insurance programs and Obamacare?
It's my understanding is that those programs are paying for this. It has not been formally reviewed yet by the prevention committees, but they are paying for it because the same treatments are used to treat HIV infection.
This is WNYC, WNYC.org. I'm Leonard Lopate talking to Dr. Robert Grant, professor at the University of California, San Francisco. Dr. Grant, a number of articles I've come across compare Truvada to a party drug, and Regan Hoffman, the former editor-in-chief of PAWS magazine, called PrEP a profit-driven sex toy for rich Westerners. Has the backlash surprised you at all?
Well, I think that she backed off of that position, actually. She heard from her readership and her constituencies that this is a real opportunity for people who are not able to use condoms consistently or who are in a relationship where they might potentially be exposed to HIV. The price of this drug is very low in Africa and other resource-poor areas. It's because of tiered pricing such that resource-poor countries, the drug is sold at cost by generic companies, and the price is as low as 30 cents a day. So it's actually more cost effective in Africa than it is in other places because of this very low cost of the drug.
The LA based AIDS Healthcare Foundation has come out aggressively against PrEP. So not everyone in the gay community agrees. Also, isn't there fear that conservatives will suggest that its usage, as they did with HPV vaccine, promotes unmarried sex?
Well, I think, to be sure, my understanding of the AIDS Healthcare Foundation position is that physicians should feel free to prescribe PrEP to patients who need it. They have concerns about it being advertised and about the price of the drug, so they are strong advocates for price reduction. But, you know, I think that the leadership of AHF at this point is being very clear that, this is that PrEP works when it's taken, and that physicians should feel free to prescribe it when they have patients who need it. So, you know, it's hard to find anyone who's really against PrEP. It's, you know, I think that HIV and the war against HIV has been one of the few bipartisan issues that we've had, that where Republicans and Democrats and conservatives and liberals can all get together against the spread of HIV. It's a terrible disease. It affects everyone, regardless of socioeconomic status. If there's a way to stay free of HIV, let's do it. And I really, it's hard to find anyone who's really against that.
We have Dr. Jeffrey Birnbaum on the line. He's at SUNY Downstate Medical Center. Dr. Birnbaum, don't you work with minority communities at risk for HIV? Hello, Dr. Birnbaum? Okay. Well, we thought we had Dr. Birnbaum on the line. A number of activists and researchers have spoken about a generational shift in how young people perceive HIV, primarily that they're not as concerned about it. Do you think that shift is more or less likely to make young people take PrEP?
Well, I think we need to find better ways to engage young people and have a conversation that they wouldn't otherwise have. In our studies, you know, our IPREC study enrolled a cohort of people with an average age of 24, meaning half had were between the ages of 18 and 24. And what amazed me is about a third of them had never had an HIV test before. And this gave us an opportunity to give them a test, to tell them a little bit about HIV, and to present HIV as a problem that can be solved, not as something that you just have to be afraid of and that you have to stay home cowering from. But HIV is something that's out there. It can hurt people. It can hurt you. But it doesn't have to. You can take steps to keep yourself free of HIV, and those steps will work. And some of them are very attractive. And, you know, this kind of messaging, I think, I hope, will engage young people in a way that we really haven't engaged them in the past.
Well,
but for sure.
We now, sure.
Go ahead. Well, half of new infections around the world, including in the United States, occur in people between the ages of 16 and 24. So
50,000 new infections of HIV every year.
50,000 in the United States every year, and that has not changed for decades. And so, you know, I think that we do have to figure out how to engage young people. That's one of the challenges that we all need to face, and face it together.
Well, we have gotten Dr. Jeffrey Birnbaum back on the line. He's at SUNY Downstate Medical Center. Dr. Birnbaum, you work mostly with minority communities at risk for HIV?
Yes, I work primarily with minority young people below the age of 25, the population you were just citing that half of new infections come from.
And what happens when you tell them about PrEP?
Well, you know, we've just started to tell young people about PrEP, and it seems no one's ever heard of it before. And we do get some interest. I'm primarily an HIV provider, so a lot of the folks that I see are already HIV infected, but I do take care of a fair number of young people who are at risk for acquiring HIV. And those that come in have never heard of PrEP before, and it's somewhat of a shock to their system. I think there's something going on in terms of marketing and promotion that's not going on, that needs to be going on.
Well, The New Yorker has pointed out that one of the reasons PrEP hasn't caught on is because it doesn't have a built-in advocacy network. Do you think they have a point?
I think so. I mean, two weeks ago, I was at a Black A health conference down in Florida by an organization, a very good organization called NASEM. And just about every session I went to turned into a discussion on why PrEP isn't catching on among Black gay men in particular, and the lack of an advocacy network, as there would be for people who are already HIV positive, is definitely one of the issues, but not the only issue.
Is it even harder to get to people who are taking drugs? IV users?
You know, I don't necessarily work with IV drug users myself, and I would say, you know, probably yes. I think a lot of the folks that I work with and the things that I hear from the Black gay community at large, a lot of the issues are dealing with lack of insurance at this point, some of which may be remedied by the Affordable Care Act. Issues of day-to-day survival, when I hear people saying, well, the difference between paying my rent or getting some food or keeping my cell phone active versus having to pay for PrEP because I'm uninsured, I mean, there's a lot of basic issues that we need to engage community at highest risk for if we want PrEP to, take off in the population in the way that it can be effective, most effective.
Thank you so much. We've pretty much run out of time, but I do want to ask Dr. Grant one more question. What about marketing? Is there a fear that if Gilead marketed it directly, there might be a major backlash?
I think that Gilead has decided not to market this approach. They have gotten FDA approval, but they feel that it really should be the public health sector and community-based organizations that should take the lead in positioning PrEP in the communities.
So we're not going to see those commercials on 60 Minutes that we see for every other kind of drug?
Well, so far, no. But I think that you've highlighted that we need to get the word out, and people need to understand this. And I would add that we shouldn't assume that people who use drugs or other substances would be less likely to use PrEP. After all, folks who are using substances are thinking about medications a lot, and they're engaging in the medical care system. I just think that we need to stop being so judgmental about people who have different ways of living.
Dr. Grant, go ahead.
Yeah. Well, help everyone stay free of HIV.
Thank you so much for being on our show, Dr. Grant. Dr. Robert Grant is a professor at the University of California, San Francisco.
Okay, thank you very much, Leonard.